All right, well, say good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, I owe Richard an apology. Yesterday, the Nudelman sponsored the daf for the yahrzeit of Richard's father, Yaakov ben Moshe Tzvi, Jack Nudelman, who was lying down, so I didn't this hour in the morning, unless it's like this. And so we dedicate our learning today, Le'ili Nishmas Yaakov ben Moshe Tzvi, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. We also go ahead and dedicate our learning as a refuah shalema for Fagi Filler, Faga Malka Bas Chayesar, who is recovering from heart surgery. Also, unfortunately, late last night, Mitch Posner was taken in for emergency surgery at Sinai. Baruch Hashem is stable and okay. So that is Moshe Ben Leah. Yeah. We hope that in the merits of our Talmud Torah, he will have a Refuah Shalema as well. Mm-hmm. All right, so we pick up on today's daf is Yud Dalet, but we're going to pick up on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So if you remember again, we're going to actually start Armalei Rav Shimon Shazuri Kamer 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we were speaking about the Pul HaMitzri or Kitnios in general, and when is the time that you go ahead and at what point in time do the kitnios become subject? What time are they? At what point are they considered to be fully finished? And therefore, again, when does their identity become locked in for the purposes of trumas and maestros? As well as at what point in time do we assume that they are ready to be harvested? So remember, again, the difficulty with kitnios was that not everything is harvested at the same time. So because of that, it creates certain technical difficulties in establishing their calendrical identity. So therefore, Rav Yossi ben Kippur said in the name of Rav Shimon Shazuri, in the case of Pul HaMitzri, which also is harvested at different times, the easiest thing to do is what? The easiest thing to do is put all of the Pul HaMitzri in the middle of your threshing floor, meaning make one big pile. Now understand, what is that pile comprised of? That pile is comprised of Pul HaMitzri, this Egyptian bean. Some of it was picked earlier, some of it was picked later, but gather it all into a pile, and therefore when you tithe it from that combined pile. Why? Because the assumption is that whatever you take from it has a mixture of the old crop and the new crop, and therefore again it turns out that you're tithing the old crop from the old crop and the new crop from the new crop. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shimon Shazuri ka'amrit." Are you bringing a rye from Shimon Shazuri? So Rav Shimon Shazuri savra yesh bila, v'rabbanan savra in bila. Rabbi says there's the general concept that Rav Shimon Shazuri holds that yesh bila. Now yesh bila means, if you look at Rashi, yesh bila yesh l'smoch ala bila lomar she yesh mishnein b'soch hamay. So if you have cheshbon, Rav says the concept of yesh bila means that things get evenly mixed together. So remember, Shimon Shazuri's whole point is based on the idea that lemaisa, when you have a mixture of old lentil, old bean, and new beans, then what happens when you draw a handful of that? That handful has an equal distribution of old crop and new crop. That is based on an idea that we assume that when items get mixed together, they get mixed together normally. So the Gemara says this eitzah works beautifully if you assume yesh bila. But according to the Rabbanon who hold Ein Bila, what are you going to do? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, or another, it won't work. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Shmuel. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani said the name of Shmuel, Halacha K'Rav Yossi Ben Kippur, Sh'amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. So now the Gemara weighs in. The Gemara says, Halacha L'maisa. Shmuel says, the Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, and again, in the case of the Pul HaMitzri, what Shmuel would suggest is that even though you have some of it that took root before Rosh Hashanah, some of it that took root after Rosh Hashanah, you can go ahead and you could tithe it all at once if you pile it all together and you remove a handful of it and again has some of the new crop, some of the old crop, and Shalom Yisrael. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Maskif Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says, Amir Shmuel Haki. Did Shmuel really say that? Halach Vaz of Shimon Shazuri. After Abba Ha'amr Shmuel, Lakol in Bila, Chutz Mishemen, Miayinu Shemen. Rabbi says, Shmuel Azan Rakir is saying that what? No, actually, we assume that things do not equally mix with each other, with the exception of wine and oil. Wine and oil. And I will say, again, whether wine and oil just means wine and oil, or whether wine and oil means liquids, what Shmuel essentially is saying is, you cannot assume that there's an equal distribution in a mixture of solid items. The only time you could assume that there's an equal distribution within mixtures is within liquids. But Shmuel does not agree to that concept in dry measures. If that's the case, then how could Shmuel possibly say that the halacha follows of Shimon Shazuri? To which the Gemara answers, Ishtamite hada amar Shmuel. He forgot that which Shmuel said. Hakol holich achar gemar pri. That Shmuel holds a both side that everything follows the end of the pre. Now, also listen to this. Look at Rashi. Ishtamiti the Rabbi Zira hadar Shmuel hakolin achar apri. Rabbi Zira forgot Shmuel's statement that everything goes after, everything follows the end of the pre. The end of the pre means the final processing part of the kli. So look at Rashi. Va'afa kitnios lo halchu bahen achar ashrasha. Bosai, Shmuel disagrees with the basic premise of the Gemara. And the basic premise of the Gemara was that for kitnios, the calendrical identity of kitnios is established by when they take root. Shmuel disagrees with that. And Shmuel holds the halacha is v'chi amar Shmuel halacha Rabbi Shimon Shizuri lo mitame ka'amar. Dilo Rabbi Shimon Shizuri tame mishum bila. Listen to this. So what Shmuel said is actually very interesting. Shmuel said that Allah follows Rav Shimon Shazuri, but for a totally different reason. See, Rav Shimon Shazuri holds that the way you deal with the Pula Mitzri, the complicated calendrical issues with Pula Mitzri, because remember again, some of it took root before Rosh Hashanah, some of it took root before after Rosh Hashanah. So the Rav Shimon Shazuri's way of dealing with it is pile it all, and you assume that what? That there's an equal distribution in the dry measure, and therefore what? When you tithe it all at once, and you assume that what's in the handful of stuff that you're holding? A mixture of the old and new, and therefore the new stuff goes, and the new stuff, the old stuff goes, and the old stuff, Shalom Yisrael. Shmuel says, I agree that is the right process for tithing the lentils, the kitnios, but I disagree with the reason why. I disagree with the reason. Your reason, Rav Shimon Shazuri, because Yesh Bila, I hold differently. I hold that the truth is the tithing, the calendrical identity for lentils is not established by when they take root. It's established when the product is ready to be processed, when the item itself, when the lentil itself is considered to be a finished product. When is the lentil considered to be a finished product? When it's sitting there, bless you, when it's sitting there on the threshing floor, when it's fully completed, even though the lentils are taking roots, some before Rosh Hashanah, some after Rosh Hashanah, they all become finished in the same time frame. And because of that,
even though they're harvested at different times.
Correct. The point is they're all going to be, they're going to finish growing. They're going to mature in the same year. Even though they're harvested at different times, because they're all maturing in the same year, therefore what? They're all considered to be what he calls chadash. They're all considered to be the same year's crop. Therefore, there's no issue with tithing the old from the new and the new from the old. So at the end of the day, Shmuel agrees with the process of Rav Shimon Shazuri, but disagrees with the logic. Whereas Shimon Shazuri holds the concept that when it comes to lentils, everything goes basar hashrasha when it takes root. And therefore, again, the only way to tithe it is to put everything together. Yesh bila, there's proper mixture and distribution of dry measures. Shmuel says, I disagree. The calendrical identity is not established when it takes root. The calendrical identity is established when it matures. All the lentils, even if some are taking root before Rosh Hashanah, some after Rosh Hashanah, are all maturing in the same year. Therefore, they're all considered to be one crop, and therefore you could tithe them all from one pile.
So what does that be gathered in the threshing floor? The whole thing is unnecessary. It's just however it's normally done.
Correct. That's essentially what he's saying. It just happens to be a good way to do it is gathering it on the threshing floor. Top of your dalet. Utsricha. And it's necessary. Now, I will say, Shmuel essentially said three different things. Number one, Rashi says, Hani tlas to Shmuel, so what are the three things? Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Number one, he said, Halacha k'Rabbi Rabbi Shimon. Number two, lakol ein bila, that there is no, you can't assume that there is proper mixture, proper distribution of mixture in dry measures. V'hakol holich achar gemara pri, and everything is determined by when the item fully matures. So why do I need to say all three of these things? So the Gemara says the following: Diash min alach Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, because if Shmuel would have just said alach falz Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, I would have assumed why. Mishum de kasavar yesh bila. We'll say just an unqualified statement of the halakha clause of Shimon Shazuri. I would assume the reason for that is because he holds yesh bila. There is mixed proper mixture even in dry measures. Kamash mula no. Kamash mula kol ein bila. Viash mu'in la kol ein bila. And if you would have just told me that we don't assume that there is a proper mixture for all items, I would have assumed hava amina kirabanan. I would assume therefore that halakha clause the rabbanan. Therefore, again, kamash molan alach Rav Shimon Shazuri. Therefore, Shmuel feels compelled to say no. That alach alaz Rav Shimon Shazuri. V'yash bo'inan hani tarti. And if would have just told me these two things, number one, ein bila, and number two, that alach alaz Rav Shimon Shazuri, I would have said hava amina kashu d'Shmuel. I would have said then there's a kasha on the two shitos of Shmuel. Kamash molan hakol holich achar gimar pri. Therefore, again, I will say because remember, if Shmuel says alach alaz Rav Shimon Shazuri, but then says Ein Bila. Those are contradictory statements because Rav Shimon Shazuri's premise is based on the idea of Yesh Bila. So therefore he has to add in Hakol Holich Acher Gemara Pri, that at the end of the day Shmuel holds that Lanaisa, every calendrical identity of the item is determined by when the item matures. And if Shmuel would have just stated that everything follows the maturation of the pri, Hava Amina Afilu Tvua Uzesim Nami, I would have said maybe that applies also to grain as well as to olives. I will say we established that when is the calendrical identity of grains and olives established? When is that? When they reach one-third of their growth. One-third of their growth. Kamash Malon Halocha Kreb Shimon Shizuri. And therefore, again, Halocha Lemaisa, the Halocha Lemaisa, that the Halocha follows of Shimon Shizuri, B'mai Dipligi, and ultimately in the case that he argues with, which is the case of Kitnios. So I will say again, so therefore, we needed Shmuel to state all three of these things. V'lashmu'inan Hanitarti, why don't you teach me these two ideas? Number one, Lakol Ein Bila. I'm sorry, Vashlina Hanitarti, teach me these two things, and therefore the kol in bila lamali. Why do you need to teach me separately that there's no bila for everything else? Or the yayin shemen, to which the Gemara says, Hakamash Malon, Dila Yain Bishemin Yesh Bila. Because also the Gemara is just adding in a separate idea over here. Parenthetically, even those who reject bila in dry measures will still go ahead and accept the view of bila in liquid measures. Okay, so we'll say what comes out over here so far is. Here's what it seems to be everyone is agreeing with for now, that when it comes to grain and olives, I also want to point out, remember, there are two things that are happening over here. There's the establishing of a calendrical identity, and there is the point at which produce becomes subject to tithing obligations. And those are really two different things. Meaning, for example, grain and olives, their calendrical identity is established when? Shlish, when they reach one-third of their maturation. Now, what that does is, that tells us what year of the Shemitah cycle they belong to, and tells us what tithes that they are subject to. But yet, they only become subject to those tithes when? When they're finished, which of course could be much later. So for example, you could have grain that attains full, one-third maturity in year two, right? But yet again, does not actually become subject to tithes until when? Until year three. So I just want to point out that there's multiple things happening at multiple stages. So far what we've done is we've established again that the establishing of the calendrical identity for wheat and olives is at, and it was one-third, that for vegetables is at the time that they're picked, for fruit trees is at the time that they blossom, and for kitnios is the great machlokes. So we have two opinions by kitnios. One opinion says when they take root, one opinion says when they take root, and one opinion says when, like Shmuel, when they're fully processed. Okay, so now the Gemara says the following. Tanya, Rabbi Yosei Lili says the following. Ba'aspicha migarncha umiyikvecha. This is by Sukkis. The Torah says, Chag HaSukkos ta'aselecha. The Yom Tov of Sukkos you shall establish for yourself. Shivas Yomim, 7 days. Ba'aspecha migarncha mikvecha. When you collect, when you gather from your granary, from your threshing floor, and from your wine press. So the Gemara says, Ma gorin v'yekev miyuchadin shegedelin amei shana sha'avra umis asrin, l'shana sha'avra. So also listen to this. What's unique about Goren and Yakev? What's unique about grain and grapes? Shegedelin amei shana shavra. First of all, they grow based on the rainfall of the previous year. Meaning even though they may grow a little bit into the quote-unquote next year, they are sustained based on the rain of the previous year. You understand when I say previous? Let's say this year 1 and 2. So it rains in year 1. They're ultimately, again, sustained from the rains in year 1, even though they may grow a little bit into year 2. So the Gemara says the following. Shegedelin amei shana shavra, umis asrin l'shana shavra. And therefore, again, their tithing identity is based on the year in which most of the rain fell. Af kol shel gedelin amei shana shavra. So too, any crop that grows based on last year's grain, mis asrin l'shana shavra, ultimately, again, is tithed in accordance with that year. In other words, also what the Gemara is seeing over here is that migarncha mikvecha comes to create what's called an agricultural paradigm, and therefore, again, your tithing identity is locked in on the year of the significant rainfall on which you subsist. So just like Gored and Yegev, not more than 1 degree. Right, so 1 degree. Okay, I think there are other issues. So what happens? So therefore, again, just like Gorin and Yekev are sustained based on last year's rainfall, and therefore, again, their tithing identity is locked in for last year. So too, again, other crops as well that are sustained by last year's rainfall, their tithing identity is locked in as well. Look at Rashi. Let's finish the next line of the Gemara. Yotzu Yurakos, this comes to exclude vegetables. Shegedelin Ame Shana Haba Umis Asrin Shana Haba. Rabbo said this comes to exclude vegetables, because interestingly enough, vegetables seem, it's just a different in the nature of the crops. Apparently, again, when it comes to grain and grapes, so they subsist on the previous year's rainfall. And after a certain point of time, any additional rainfall does not do anything for them. Vegetables are different, and vegetables will continue to grow even with additional rainfall. So because of that, the tithing identity of vegetables, because they grow based on the new year's rainfall, their tithing identity is also established for the coming year. So I'll say that's the position of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Afkol lekach halchu beilan achar chanata shekol gedelas pirosiv aydi shalos strafa ilan lefnei chanatu yatsi yirako shegedelan al amei shana haba vahainu shnas lekitasan shahari gozes in osa bichozeres gedelas. It's actually interesting. Rashi says that vegetables can even potentially continue to grow when they are detached from the ground, when there's additional rainfall. So again, Rabbi Yossi Haglili's model is very simple. Ba'aspecha migarncha mikvecha, Torah is creating an agricultural paradigm that is based on grain and grapes. What's coming out between grain and grapes? They grow based on the rainfall of really what it's saying, the present year. And even if they're still attached to the ground in the next year, additional rainfall does not impact them. So any item that is fully subsists on the rainfall of this present year, even though there's additional rainfall of the coming year, its tithing identity is locked in for this year. But anything that ultimately benefits from the rainfall of this year and next year, its tithing identity is locked in when? The next year. So that's vegetables. So therefore, again, you have essentially trees and grain that tithing identity is locked in of the year of their primary rainfall, and vegetables, essentially their tithing identity will really be locked in when they're picked, when they're harvested, because until the point that they're harvested, what's going to happen? They benefit from the additional rainfall. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva Omer, ba'aspecha begarncha mikvecha, quotes the same pasuk, ma goren v'yekev miyuchadan shegedelen arov mayim umis ashrin l'shana sha'avra. So what's unique about Goren and Yekev? What's unique about the granary, about the wheat, as well as the grapes, is that what? They're gedelin al rov mayim. I will say, what is rov mayim? Look at Rashi, rov mayim. Hey, mei geshamim. This refers to rainwater. So the common denominator between grain and between grapes is that lamaisa, they grow based on rainwater. You need not irrigate. You could just, they're based on rainwater, and therefore what? Mis ashrin l'shana sha'avra. Therefore, their tithing identity is based on, again, the Gemara calls it last year. But last year means the year in which they grew. So too, af kol shegedilin arov mayim, mis ashrin l'shana sha'avra. So too, again, anything that goes ahead and grows based on rainwater without irrigation, its tithing identity is locked in the year that it grew. Yotze Yerakos, this comes to exclude vegetables. Shegedelin al komayim umis ashrin l'shana haba. This comes to exclude vegetables, because Rabosai, vegetables are gedelin al komayim. Komayim means what? In order to grow vegetables, you need a combination of rainwater and irrigation. So because of that, their tithing identity is really only locked in at the time in which they are harvested, the time in which they are picked. So the Gemara says, "My benai." So we'll say again. So I have a fundamental makhlokes Rabbi Yossi Haglili and Rabbi Akiva. So again, Rabbi Yossi Haglili says, "Ba'aspechar migarncha miyukvecha." What's unique about grain and grapes? That that they really grow based on the rainfall of the primary year in which they grew, and additional rainfall in the next year doesn't do anything for them. So to any item that grows based on the primary rainfall of the year in which it grows, its tithing identity is locked in there, as opposed to vegetables that continuously grow until they are harvested, and therefore the Maisa, their tithing identity is not locked in until they're harvested. Rabbi Akiva says differently. Grain and grapes grow primarily based, not primarily, grow based from rainwater. And therefore, any item who grows that grows based on rainwater, its tithing identity is locked in the year in which it primarily grows. As opposed to vegetables, which require rainwater and irrigation, which again, are only, their tithing identity is only locked in when? When they're picked, when they're harvested. So maybe, you know, what's the practical difference in these two opinions? I'm Rabbi Abo, Bitzalim Hasarisin Upol HaMitzri Ikabinayo. So what's the Gemara says, here's the difference. Bitzal Masurisin. Bitzal Masurisin literally means, literally it's like castrated onions. Castrated onions. So Rashi says over here, why is it called Bitzalim Hasurisin? Shein Naasin Gidolim Kishar Bitzalim. So they're like baby onions, right? They're small onions. They're small onions. So Bitzalim, Bitzal Masurisin, and Pula Mitzri. Pula Mitzri we saw already is the Egyptian lentils. So the verse is why? What's unique about these items? This not because we learned. Because we learned, the Gemara says this nan, Bitzalim hasarisin upol hamitzri, that when it comes to these small onions and these Egyptian lentils, Shemana mehen mayim shloshim yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah, that you stopped watering it 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, mis asrin l'sha'avar, they are considered to be, meaning their tithing identity is locked in based on the previous year, umutarin b'shvias, and they become mutar in the Shemitah, meaning I will say, let's say again, the year in which they're growing is year 6, the next year is year 7. If you stopped watering them, again, 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year. So first of all, again, they are tithed in accordance with year 6. They are permitted on Shemitah. And if not, even if you continue to water them into the 30 days, then by definition, their identity, their calendrical identity is locked in as a 7th year item. And they also have Kedusha Shvias. They are also like Kedusha Shvias. Look what's going on over here. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Ika b'nayhu, kigon shemana mayim v'lo hishku shloshim v'lofnei Rosh Hashanah. So now I've committed between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva as we took some of these items. You did not water them for 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. What happened? V'lokton achar Rosh Hashanah. So you didn't water it for 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, but you didn't harvest it until after Rosh Hashanah. V'chi ha mas nisen disnad b'mesech ha-shviyis b'tzalim ha-srisim Rabbi Yossi Haglili Isle Ha Mimas Nisin, Dechevan Dimana Mayim Shloshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, Nimtzu Gedelin Ame Shana Shabbat. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, if you took now again, remember, this Bitzalim, this vegetable, and these legumes, these are in the vegetable family. So under normal circumstances, what does Rabbi Yossi Haglili hold by vegetables? He normally holds that by vegetables, their tithing identity is locked in when? At the time in which they are picked. Why? Why? Because Lemaisa, they're sustained from additional rainwaters, even if what? Even if Lemaisa, it rains into the new year, it's a non-primary year of growth. But according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, if you had these onions and you stopped watering them 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, which essentially means what? And let's say assume there's no rainfall. So Rabbi Yossi Haglili would say that Lemaisa, in such a case, they are considered to have grown. Based on the rainfall of the previous year, in which case what? In which case they'd be treated almost like grain and olives, and therefore their identity would be locked in last year's identity. Their calendrical identity would be locked in based on the present year, and therefore again, Lemaisa, if next year was a Shemitah year, they would be 60-year produce and would not have Kedusha Shvias. So according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, what the Gemara is saying over here is, if you control the watering of the plant and you essentially do not water it, it becomes like something that was sustained by this year's rainfall, and therefore the calendrical identity is locked in the present year.
Even if they're picked later,
correct. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva, I'm reading in Rashi, Rabbi Akiva, Hari Gedelin Al Kol Mayim U'me'asrin L'haba. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Akiva, just because you stop watering it does not change the fact that what? This is an item that is normally watered through irrigation. Because it's an item that's normally watered through irrigation, its identity is forged, or its identity is concretized when? At the time that it's picked. Therefore, the fact that you withheld water from it does not change the metzias that it's an irrigation plant, and therefore its identity is only locked in at the time in which it's picked. So that would be the nafkamina between these two opinions, says the Gemara Baiter. So we'll say, what was the next thing in the Mishnah? On the first of Shvat, is the Rosh Hashanah for trees. My time, so we'll say, why the first of Shvat? Now, we also remember, it's Machlokes Beisham Beisilo. Beisham says first of Shvat. Beisilo says the 15th of Shvat. When the Gemara says, my time, what the Gemara is really asking is, on both Beisilo and Beisham, why Shvat? Shvat is an interesting month because, again, it's still pretty much winter. So what's the Shvat? So why is Shvat Rosh Hashanah Yilanos? Rabbi Elazar, Amr Rabbi Oshia. Hoil V'yotzu Rov Gishmei Shana. So since most of the rains have already fallen, but most of the winter is still in front of you, meaning it's still winter. Remember again, because winter could definitely extend through Shvat, could even sometimes extend into Adar, and could even sometimes extend into what? Into Nisan. I will say, understand, remember, when the Gemara talks about winter over here, it's not like what we think about in winter in Chutz La'aretz. Winter over in this context means what? Rain. So the Gemara says again, there's still more winter ahead of us. So the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you why. Because since the majority of the rains have fallen, but the majority of the winter is still in front of us. The Gemara says, my comma, so that doesn't make any sense. You're telling me that the Rosh Hashanah for trees is in Shvat because there's still more winter to come? I would think, if anything, that the Rosh Hashanah for trees occurs when the winter is behind us. To which the Gemara says, Halchikam, this is what it means to say. Even though when it comes to Shvat, there's still more winter ahead of us. Nevertheless, whole of the Yotzer of Gishmei Shana. Since the majority of the rains have fallen, therefore, again, Rabbi Sayyid Rashi points out over here, the majority of the rains have fallen, and what? The sap is beginning to rise in the trees. Because the sap is beginning to rise in the trees, therefore what? Therefore, again, the trees have their vitality to blossom. Therefore, it's Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos and Shvat. Tan Rabbanon. Interesting story. Rabbi Akiva once picked an esrog in Shvat, and he did something very interesting. He tied it twice. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Shnei Yisurin, Meiser Sheni B'Shana Shnia, U'Meiser Ani B'Shana Shlisha. So Rabbi Akiva is picking an esrog on the first of Shvat, and he ties it two tithes. Why? Because again, apparently, so again, what were the two tithes? He tithed it as a second year fruit. Now in the second year, again, you use Maiser Ani. That's a Maiser Ani year. And he tithed it as a third year fruit. So again, remember, Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah, is the cutoff for years for trees. So Rabbi Akiva tithed it as a year two fruit and as a year three fruit. Echad Kedivrei Beis Shammai ve'echad Kedivrei Beis Hillel. Now apparently the reason he was doing that is because he was not sure, does the halacha follow the Beis Shammai? Because remember, when is he tithing? When is he picking the esrog? He's picking the esrog on the first of Shvat. So his shaila was, again, do we follow Beis Shammai? In which case, again, if we hold like Beis Shammai, the first of Shvat is now year three. On the other hand, if we hold like Beis Hillel, that the new year for trees is Tu B'Shvat, then first of Shvat is what? Is year two. And therefore, what did he do? He tithes the fruit both as a year two and a year three fruit. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Lo minag b'sham b'sil. No, Rabbi Akiva was not unsure about the machlokis b'sham b'sil. Rabbi, he was unsure about something else. Ela minag Rabbi Gamliel of Rabbi Elazar nagba. But rather, he conducted himself like both of the opinions of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar. Eliezer, Rabbi will say, what did Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar say? This time, esrog shavah le'ilan le'gimel drachim. An esrog resembles a tree in three ways, and a vegetable in one way. So how so? Shavala ilam begimul drachim. An esrog is comparable to a tree in three ways. Li arla uli revai uli shvius. In that, what Rabbi say? In that, look at Rashi. Rashi says shavala ilan leilich achar chanota leinyan arla revai ushvius. Rabbi say, what does this mean? That an esrog is like a fruit tree in terms of, I will say, when is their identity solidified for tithing purposes? When they blossom. So to an esrog, its identity is solidified for arla purposes. Revai means the fourth year produce, and shmita. And when it blossoms. Uli yerek, and it's comparable to a vegetable, but derech echad in one way. How so? Shebeshas likitaso isuro. That Javosai, again, its tithing identity is locked in when? At the time in which it's actually picked from the tree. Divir Rabbi Gamliel. These are the words of Rabbi Gamliel. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer says, Esrog shavah le'ilon l'chol davar. that an esrog is comparable to a tree in all ways, and therefore both say, so what's the nafkamina over here? The nafkamina between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel is, when is the tithing identity of the esrog locked in? According to Rabbi Gamliel, when is the tithing identity locked in? At the time that it's picked. According to Rabbi Eliezer, when is the tithing identity locked in? At the time that it blossoms. So therefore, again, suggests Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, when Rabbi Akiva was picking the esrog, Rabbi Akiva wasn't sure who the halacha follows. Does the halacha follow Rabbi Gamliel? And therefore, again, let's say it blossomed in year two, and therefore, again, I have to tithe it like a year two fruit. But at the end of the day, I may be picking it when he's picking it on the first of Shad, so he's going to Beis Shammai. That's the new year, and therefore, that's year three. So I'm not sure. Does the tithing identity follow Rabbi Gamliel when it blossoms, or excuse me, when it picked, or does it follow Rabbi Eliezer that tithing identity is locked in when it blossoms? So therefore, what did Rabbi Akiva do? He followed both shitas. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Umi avdin and katrei chumri. Do we do that? Do we accept chumras like that? Are we machmir like that to follow two contradictory opinions? Because we'll say again, what it sounds like Rabbi Akiva is hedging his bets. But as a matter of halachic practice, do we accept when it says two chumras? What it's saying is, do we accept two conflicting opinions and be machmir on ourselves in order to satisfy all the shittos? We don't normally do that. V'hatanya, we learned the olam halachic dibre beis hillel. The halacha follows beis hillel. The halacha follows beis hillel. The harotze la'asos k'divrei beis shammai osa k'divrei beis hillel osa. But I will say, now this is very interesting. I'm not going to get into this now, but the Gemara seems to be contradicting itself. One of the Gemara says, the halacha always follows Beis Hillel. Unless, of course, what? Unless you want to hold like Beis Shammai. Right? So the idea is, the halacha follows Beis Hillel, but we're leaving that aside. But the Gemara is saying, is the halacha follows Beis Hillel? Okay. So if you choose to follow Beis Hillel, great. If you choose to follow Beis Shammai, fine. However, ha'oseh k'divrei beis hillel, oseh mikulei beis shammai, kulei beis hillel, Russia. I'll say, however, again, if you are a kula shopper and you go ahead and you want to follow the leniencies of Beis Shammai, leniencies of Beis Hillel, you're Russia. Mechumri Beis Shammai, kula Beis Hillel. But if you want to take the chumras of Beis Shammai, chumras of Beis Hillel, I love Hakos of Omer, about you, the Pasuk in Kohelet says, V'haksil b'choshech holech. The fool walks in darkness. So the Gemara calls someone who takes the chumras of everything. And again, I will say, it's okay to be machmir. The problem is, if you're taking the chumras of Beis Shammai Silo, you are accepting contradictory halachic systems. That's the Gemara saying. The Gemara is not saying a person shouldn't be machmir on themselves. Again, you want to be machmir, that's your own prerogative. But when you start taking disparate chumras that don't line up with each other, that's just foolish behavior. Like walking in darkness. Elo, ike beis shammai b'kulein b'chumrein, ike beis sil b'kulein b'chumrein. Well, so this is a very important yisod. You know, you see this all the time, where you see a person engaging in a certain behavior. You know what this happens the most? It's amazing how everybody loves to be a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik, right? When it comes to his kulas. I heard the Rav says this. Great, no problem. You want to hear what else the Rav said, right? I heard there's a shita like that. No problem. There's a lot of other shitos as well. So the Gemara is saying, pick a team. You have the prerogative to choose your team, but you have to choose a team. So the Gemara says, Ela ike beis shammai b'kulein b'chumrein. If you want to hold like beis shammai, that's fine. Accept their leniencies and accept their stringencies. Ike beis hillel b'kulein b'chumrein, or you go like beis hillel with their kulas and their chumras. So we'll say, what the Gemara is asking, so Rabbi Akiva, what are you doing? You know, it sounds like very nice. You're tithing it like Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, but we don't do that. We don't do that. Either, again, make a choice. So the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Akiva, Gemari istapikle, velo yoda I beis hillel b'echad b'shvat, I betes b'shvat. This is something very different. So what we assumed over here is that Rabbi Akiva was fully informed of the circumstances, but he was actively choosing to follow both opinions. So the Gemara says, that doesn't make sense. That we don't do. What happened to Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Akiva was doubtful. Rabbi Akiva knew that the halacha was Beis Hillel, but he didn't remember the shita of Beis Hillel. So he didn't remember, does Beis Hillel hold that the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos is the first of Shvat, or the 15th of Shvat? He wasn't sure about that. Now, I will say, obviously, that makes a very big difference in this whole discussion. And therefore, he had to hedge his bets. See, he wasn't purposely following both chumras. Instead, again, he was just simply unsure about a halachic detail. Because he wasn't sure about a halachic detail, therefore, lemaisa, he had to go ahead and tithe it both ways. Rashi says over Gemara's topic, like Beis Hillel, ba'al me'avad. So I will say, again, halach lemaisa, he wanted to conduct himself like Beis Hillel, but he just wasn't sure about the halacha. Therefore, had to cover his bases. Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda Amar Lo Minag BeShamay UBeis Hillel Nagba Ela Minag Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Elazar Nagba. So Rabbi Yosi comes along. Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda says, No. Rabbi Akiva was not worried about BeShamay Beis Hillel. Rabbi Akiva was actually conducting himself in accordance with the positions of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Be'echad B'Shvat K'Vishamay Nagba. So Rabbi Yosi, remember, there are two different narratives as to what's unfolding over here. And in the basic reading of the story, we assume that what Rabbi Akiva was unsure about was what? Was the Shita of Beis Hillel. Rabbi Akiva holds like Beis Hillel. I just don't remember. Does Beis Hillel hold the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos as the first of Shvat or the 15th of Shvat? I'm picking the Esrog on the first of Shvat. I'm not sure what to do. Therefore, I'm going to tithe it like year two and like three, in like year three, just to cover myself according to Beis Hillel, because I'm just not sure about Shita Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yossi came along and said, no, that was not Rabbi Akiva's doubt. Rabbi Akiva's doubt was what? Was in the machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, again, because Rabbi Akiva was not sure who does the halacha follow, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, in other words, when is the tithing identity of the Esrog locked in? At the time that it blossoms, or at the time that it's picked? Therefore, again, it takes two tithes. But there's an interesting postscript with this. Be'echad b'shak k'be shalein agba. We'll say, when is this story happening? The story is happening when? The first of Shvat, which sounds like Rabbi Akiva paskins like Beis Shammai. Because remember again, if the first of Shvat and Rabbi Akiva is saying I have to conduct myself both like Rabbi Eliezer as well as Rabbi Gamliel, seems to be holding like Beis Shammai, which of course sounds strange to us because Lamaisa, we always paskin like Beis Hillel. But once I say again, just to be clear, there are two different approaches as to what the ambiguity of Rabbi Akiva was. According to the first approach, his ambiguity was just in the detail of Beis Shammai. I don't know, does Beis Shammai say Echa B'Shvat or Tu B'Shvat? Beis Hillel, thank you. Echa B'Shvat or Tu B'Shvat. According to Rabbi Yossi's approach, no. His issue is with the machlokus between Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. But again, in that narrative, it sounds like Rabbi Akiva is adopting or is accepting the position of Beis Shammai. To which the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Chanina, v'tim Rabbi Chanina, ha'cha be'esrog shechantu peirosav kodem tu de'idach shvat askin." I will say, no. What's that? It's actually very interesting. We're talking about now an esrog whose fruits blossom, or the buds. If you ever saw an esrog tree first has a bud. First has a bud before ultimately the fruit is there. It budded. I don't know if that's a word, but it budded. It budded prior to. Blossomed, right? I don't know why I think that. I think budded. That's actually the horticultural term, actually. Right? So again, it blossomed before Tu B'Shvat of last year. And I will say, Esrog tree is very unique in that Esrogim could sit on a tree actually for a couple of years. That whereas most fruit trees, again, at some point in time, the fruit will drop from the tree. An Esrog can literally sit on the tree for 2 to 3 years. So what's the case over here? The case over here is where this particular Esrog blossomed before last year's Tu B'Shvat. So let's call it Tu B'Shvat of year one. So this Esrog blossomed already before last year's Tu B'Shvat. Ubedinhu da'afilu kodem lochein. So we'll say, listen to this. So what's the case? The case is where Rabbi Akiva, yes, is standing there on the first of Shvat, looking at an Esrog that what? That blossomed before last year's Tu B'Shvat. So in Rabbi Yossi's model, the Machlokes Hashem Beis Hillel does not apply. Why? Because already last year's Tu B'Shvat already elapsed. The only doubt that Rabbi Akiva has is what? Is at what point in time is the identity of the item locked in? Is it locked in at the time that it blossomed or at the time that it's picked? That's the machlokes Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. But in terms of Tu B'Shvat, we've already sidestepped that already. Because why? This item already blossomed before last year's Tu B'Shvat. It just happens to be what? Umaisa Shahaya Kach Haya. I will say, what does that mean? It happened to be that. When did this episode unfold? On the first of Shvat. But that's actually not a significant date in this story. Why? Because this Esrog already blossomed before last year's Tu B'Shvat. So the Gemara says, Ravina says, Kroch V'Tani. You could combine this all together and say it the following way. Lo echa b'shvataya. No, maybe not. It wasn't the first of Shvat. Ela tu b'shvataya. But rather, when was this actually occurring? Rabbi Akiva was actually picking the Esrog on the 15th of Shvat. And the truth is, again, this is Rabbi Yossi's model. Rabbi Akiva's doubt is not about who the halacha falls b'sham b'silal, because that's the halacha falls b'shamai. So what was Rabbi Akiva's ambiguity? Ela minog Rabbi Gamil Rabbi Eliezer Nagba. Rather, what Rabbi Akiva was in doubt about was what? Was l'maisa, who does the halacha follow, Rabbi Gamil or Rabbi Eliezer? Amar Rabbi Rav Huna. So we'll say again. So therefore, what we're at right now is that l'maisa, the episode of Rabbi Akiva has two different narratives. In narrative one, he's standing there on the first of Shvat, and he's not sure about what. The only thing he's not sure about is the Shita of Beis Hillel. I know I pass him like Beis Hillel. I'm just not sure if Beis Hillel holds that the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos is the first of Shvat or the 15th of Shvat, and therefore he double tithes. Why? And possibly that it's year two, possibly that it's year three, but not just because of doubt of the Shita Beis Hillel. In version number two, which is Rabbi Yossi's version, and then really we'll call it amplified by Ravina, at the end of the day, it's Tu B'Shvat, it's really the 15th of Shvat, and what's happening over here? Rabbi Akiva is not sure about what? Does the halacha follow Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Gamliel? Does the identity of the Esrog, is it like a regular fruit tree, and therefore its tithing identity is locked in by when it blossoms, or when it's picked? And because he's not sure of that, therefore what? Therefore, Lemaisa, he double tithes it. Now, I will say, why isn't that accepting two chumras? Because apparently what you have to say is the foolishness of accepting two chumras is when you know what the halacha is, but you're choosing to go out of Reiti Machmen to cover all your bases. But if you are not sure about what the halacha is, you have halachic doubt, then following both chumras in order to cover your bases is not considered to be an act of halachic foolishness. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with Amar Rabba tomorrow. Hashtag Amar Rabba Gamliel. Shukoyach.